Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Time to talk some music. Try to make sense out of it anyway. Welcome to the program, our music expert, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. Glad you think I can make sense out of anything.
You do that all the time.
I'm sports. I'm the voice of reason.
Sports, music, all that stuff. Let's start with Keith Richards apologizing to Mick Jagger.
Yeah, I mean, this happened a while ago. So, you know, back when Mick Jagger had his eighth child at the age of 70, whatever. This is back at the end of 2016. Keith Richards gave an interview where he suggested that Mick Jagger have a vasectomy, and that's my polite terminology for how Keith Richards put it. So he recently tweeted, actually this week, just that he had that comment was completely out of line, that he apologized to Jagger in person. So this is the first time, I think, on record anybody's ever noted one Rolling Stone apologizing to the other.
No face punch in there, or I'm your drummer, like, or you're my drummer remark, or anything?
Yep, nope, that's still one of the great stories.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
My drummer, yeah. But it's, everybody's getting a chuckle out of it. And the timing for this is the Stones just announced a big UK tour. They're going to be doing mostly the UK and Ireland and, you know, traipsing around like they do for a handful of weeks, playing a handful of shows, and then they'll go back to counting their money. But Keith did say that they have, you know, as has widely been acknowledged, they have started work on a new album, although he says it's really just the beginning stages and nothing concrete about a release yet.
Do they record those together, or is it like, you know, it was when the Beatles broke up, no one saw each other, they just went in and laid down a track?
They apparently work together, which they get everybody in the studio, which is one of the reasons it takes so long, you know, until you can get everybody in the studio, you know, until Mick's done changing diapers, Keith's done doing whatever he does, and then get the other guys together. So, you know, you can only get them together for short concentrated periods, but apparently they do work quickly. If you remember that last album that came out, the blues album, that was just, they were already working on new material and they started playing a couple blues covers and it took off and became an album in like a week.
I'd pay $5 to hear a recording of them talking to each other.
It would be fun.
You mean like
that? I don't even understand it.
As long as they understand each other.
I guess so.
Hey, Jason Bonham has been doing this Led Zeppelin experience for some time, right?
Right, yeah. He's, a couple of decades at this point.
Right. I mean,
so
he's cashed
the deal now.
Well, what's happened now is Led Zeppelin, the band, you know, the entity, has appropriated the use of the Led Zeppelin experience in conjunction with the 50th anniversary this year. They haven't said how or why they plan to do it, so they went to Jason Bonham, who's, you know, of course, the son of the late drummer John Bonham, and basically said, you can't use this anymore. Working with Led Zeppelin, what he's done is changed the title of his show to Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening. So he's able to keep the logo, keep everything intact, and it's just the evening rather than the experience.
Hmm.
So, you know, obviously Jason Bonham's going to play ball with these guys and whatever they want. He counts on their endorsement and their approval of what he does.
And everyone's happy with that?
It sounds like it. Yeah. You know, now it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if the Led Zeppelin experience is going to become, you know, like a thrill ride at Universal or Disney or something, or if they have a museum exhibit or something like that.
Yeah.
They've already announced there's going to be like a deluxe book coming out, sanctioned and curated by the band, as well as some more archival reissues, apparently digging even deeper into the vaults than Jimmy Page did with that last set of, you know, individual album reissues. So we'll see. I mean, it sounds like we're going to be experiencing Led Zeppelin in a big way this year, as you'd expect for a 50th anniversary.
All right, let's talk about what I really, really want.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
This worries me. The fascination with it. I mean,
I'm stunned that they're going to play at the Royal Wedding.
They are going to play at the Royal Wedding.
And that is actually going to kick off what, their tour?
Well, nobody knows exactly. The latest development this week was Mel B. You know, she's part of...
We're talking about the Spice Girls.
Right. She's part of the America's Got... She's part of America's Got Talent. And there was apparently a scene on the set where, you know, she more or less acknowledged that something more was going to happen than just the royal wedding.
Are she and Simon okay? Last time we heard from her, she was throwing water on Simon.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people want to do that to Simon. Mel B just has the cojones to do it. And she can get away with it, too. So they are going to be performing at the royal wedding. If you want to lay a wager on what songs they're going to perform, you can do that with British bookies. And it looks like there's going to be a limited live performing. You know, maybe come to the States for a half dozen shows. You know, maybe do some shows in Britain, elsewhere in the world. But
well,
you know,
economically, why would you get the band back together and get all that stuff together and then just leave all that demand laying there?
That's a lot of it, and you know, it benefits like somebody like Posh Spice, Victoria Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
It benefits, even though she doesn't need it, it benefits her fashion line.
Sure.
To do this, and yeah, so we're gonna see and hear from them.
So the Spice Girls, when they do get up at the wedding, will the Queen still be there?
Probably not.
Okay.
If you remember at the William and Kate's wedding, my good friends William and Kate, you know, Duran Duran played for what was the kids' party.
Yeah.
The young adults' party. And no, the Queen was not boogieing to Hungry Like the Wolf or anything.
So they'll play a couple of songs and then what, turn it over to a DJ or some other band
It'll be the signature moment.
Yeah. They'll be happy.
They'll probably do a half hour or so. I mean, it'll be a real performance.
They all stayed in shape. You know,
it's not like it's going to be watching
five fat Elvises trot around
there. Visually, it should be fine. I'm just, it's so beneath the royal family. This is the new royal family,
though, because you wouldn't have said
not,
that. You wouldn't
have
said
anymore.
That about Duran too, and there they were at the royal wedding.
So you're right.
This is who they want.
Top 10 global recording artists of 2017. Man, this I got to hear.
Yeah, and this is, Ed Sheeran, our boy, was number one.
Okay.
Followed by Drake, Taylor Swift, Kendrick Lamar, Eminem, Bruno Mars, The Weeknd, Imagine Dragons, and holding the flag for rock at number 10 was Linkin Park.
I'm very surprised Taylor Swift isn't number one on that one.
Well, Ed Sheeran had a full year of that album, of the Divide album. He was on the road. The album came out, I think, in February or March. So whereas Taylor's album came out in November. So, you know, you're really talking about a month and a half, 2 months for her, whereas Ed Sheeran, you were talking about a whole year. So those are your top 10.
I guess the Q factor on Taylor Swift is just
that's higher.
Eons bigger than
exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Now that's top now. Kind of, you know, as we come into 2018, you know, we'll see. I mean, Taylor Swift just put out another video this week. You know, she's definitely doing it. But Ed Sheeran's not going away either.
Is Ryan Seacrest going to have a lot of time to fill on his hands on Sunday?
Ryan, of course, is the latest target of a sexual abuse misconduct scandal. You know, by a number of women.
Just accused. Nothing. There's no.
No, we're saying accused.
Right. So
most recently by one of his assistants. And so now you've got him. You know, he's supposed to host the new American Idol that's coming up. He is supposed to be hosting the red carpet for E! On Sunday at the Academy Awards. He still is.
There's already word that certain publicity handlers will be ushering their people away from
him. They're gonna avoid him.
Yep.
You know, it's he's in a tough spot. He's denied everything, but we are in kind of a guilty until proven innocent, you know, presumed guilty model right now.
Yeah.
That's been going on, you know, since the Harvey Weinstein allegations. And, you know, Ryan Seacrest is caught in it, and it's quite a conundrum for everybody involved and for, you know, for the performers and we're talking about. I mean, you do want to be on the E! Show if you're walking the red carpet at the Oscars, but if you or your client has been, you know, heavily involved in the Me Too movement, can you really go and have Ryan Seacrest stick a microphone in your face?
Well, as long as it's a microphone.
Yeah, I was going to stay away from that, but I'm happy you swung at the high, hard fastball.
I'm not too big to lay off of that one. Gary, come on. What else is going on? Metallica. We talked about the Stones tour, but Metallica announced their tour. They're coming here. We had that announcement on Monday.
Yep. And they're actually starting two Wisconsin dates. You know, they kick off in Madison, and then a few days later, they're coming to play the new arena there in Milwaukee, which is going to be exciting. This is a huge tour. You know, last year they only did a limited number of stadium dates. Now they're coming back with the whole schmear. I mean, it starts in September. And it rolls all the way to March of 2019.
So, that is a whole schmear, yeah.
Yeah, beyond a year from now. So it'll be fun to see what they take into the arenas, the stadium.
Sounds like somebody's getting a hot tub.
I think so. But you know, and I'll look forward to seeing it when you guys send the company jet to bring me to see the new arena.
Right, the company jet.
And the show. Yeah. And but, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do for an indoor production. They always have really innovative and exciting shows. So it's going to be, I hope everybody's excited there because it's one of the bands that's worth getting excited for.
All right.
We haven't had a trouble filling the new building, and it's not even done yet, and we have all these shows planned before the Bucks ever play a game inside of that place.
Well, that happens with all new arenas. You know, they wind up opening before the sports season, you know, whoever their tenant client, sports client is, and just drum up some excitement and get a lot of people and a varied amount of people in. You look at the schedule on that arena now, and there's a real variety of shows that are going to be in there before the basketball season.
Yep,
starts.
Get that thing warmed up. I think we have three shows in four nights. We have Metallica, we have Foo Fighters, and Eagles, I think, all over the course of four nights, three shows
and
four
and
nights.
And my bet is there will be more. You know,
That was kind of the point of building it because tours were skipping Milwaukee and going other places because they didn't like the Bradley Center.
Yeah, you know, it always helps to have a new arena. It's never just about the building. There's always other things, you know. And in the touring parlance, Milwaukee, for as great a music town as it is, just size wise, just proximity to other markets, such, you know, most notably Chicago, it's not a first play. But it's often, and you've seen it on the tour itineraries when the bands come back around. You know, if they hit Chicago the first time, then they go hit Milwaukee. And that's just kind of the way the touring industry works. We have that here in the Michigan area. Detroit will be a first play, but then they come back around and they'll hit a Toledo and a Grand Rapids or something like that. So, it is just the way it works. But it helps considerably if you have a brand spanking new arena for bands to play in, because the musicians want to, the crews want to get in and see the new arena, the agents want to suss it out. So,
and then it only works for a little while, and then
well,
it's not a new arena.
If they do it right, then it works.
True.
Then it changes the landscape.
All right, Gary, we got to get out of here.
All right, we'll be talking next week from the sunny
yeah,
topic.
We will be. Yes, sir. All right, we'll talk to you then.
Take care.
Gary Graff, our music guy. Get him every Friday morning.